Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. The use of complementary and alternative therapies in MS is more popular than ever, and the options are extensive. However, just as with conventional treatment, it is extremely important to research any treatment approach that you are considering and to speak with your physician about it. Today's webcast is the first of a two-part series entitled Understanding Complementary and Alternative Options in Treating MS. Helping us to better understand this topic is Dr. Dennis Bordet. Dr. Bordet is chair of the Department of Neurology and director of the Multiple Sclerosis Center of Oregon at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Dr. Bordet.
Thank you, Rick.
Today, there are many complementary and alternative medicines available. It is critical that people take the time to fully understand their treatment options. So, doctor, for the sake of our discussion, I'm going to loosely group complementary and alternative medicines into four categories, and they are diet, physical medicine, vitamins, minerals, and herbs, and then another group I'll simply title other. So, let's begin with diet. We hear lots of advice on this. In your opinion, is there a complementary or alternative approach to diet that is beneficial for people with MS?
I think we need to start off by saying in general that while there are a number of complementary and alternative medicine approaches that may be beneficial for MS, that really none of them have been shown to be effective in well-designed large clinical trials. With regards to a diet, there is some reason to believe that a low-fat diet may actually be beneficial for multiple sclerosis. Many people with MS are familiar with the Swank low-fat diet. Dr. Roy Swank is an advocate of this diet approach for over 40 years and did publish data suggesting that people that strictly followed his diet were less likely to die and less likely to become disabled from MS than those who started on the diet and stopped it. There's now evidence to suggest that that type of dietary approach has some anti-inflammatory effects, particularly if supplemented with fish oils, which the Swank diet did indeed incorporate. In addition, a recent study that was done by a group of investigators in Buffalo suggested that patients with MS that followed the Swank diet with a fish oil supplement actually felt better after a year of therapy compared with those on an American Heart Association low-fat diet with an olive oil supplement. So there is some evidence to suggest that a low-fat diet with a fish oil supplement may be beneficial.
Well, that is very interesting. Does research give any specific answers as to why the anti-inflammatory effect? Is it the low-fat diet, the fish oil supplements, or a combination of both, do you think?
In terms of the anti-inflammatory effects, the best data is on the effects of omega-3 fatty acids, which are an important component of fish oil supplements. Patients that follow a strict low-fat diet also have an increase in the amount of essential fatty acids in their diet, which is likely to also have an anti-inflammatory effect. But the best evidence currently in terms of effects on the immune system involve the omega-3 fatty acids, which are found in fish oil supplements.
The next group we want to address in this topic is physical medicine. Some commonly used approaches would include yoga, tai chi, and massage. What is the rationale, doctor, for their use?
We know that people with MS who exercise regularly do better. They have more energy. They have more strength. Their cardiovascular system is in better shape. And they're able to control spasticity symptoms. Now, yoga and tai chi are both exercise programs that incorporated structured movement along with meditation. Many people who have MS who do yoga regularly or tai chi regularly report that they derive benefit. And part of this is probably due to the exercise component of it, But the meditative component that goes along with both yoga and tai chi may also be beneficial in that it can help reduce stress. Now, yoga is one approach that has been studied in one clinical trial in multiple sclerosis. A group of investigators at Oregon Health and Sciences University studied yoga versus conventional exercise on a bicycle versus no exercise, and found that the patients that did yoga had improved energy and were able to perform the yoga. Now, they didn't do any better than those that were doing regular exercise on an exercise bike, but they clearly were doing better than people who weren't exercising. So yoga is a very good form of exercise that has been shown to have some benefit in people with MS. Tai Chi has not been well studied in MS, but many patients report benefit. And massage is another approach that can help deal with chronic pain problems that many people with MS experience, and can also help with stress reduction.
Are there other alternative approaches in this physical medicine category that we should spend some time on today?
Well, two that we might mention are chiropractic therapy and acupuncture. Chiropractic therapy is a manipulation of the spine performed by licensed chiropractors. There is some evidence that chiropractic treatment for acute low back pain in the general population is beneficial. And I do have patients that report they have a pain problem, particularly low back pain, that chiropractic therapy can help with that. I do caution patients against cervical neck manipulation. I've had a few patients that have had cervical neck manipulations that have developed exacerbations of their MS, perhaps related to the mechanical motion of the spine and pressure on the spinal cord. So that is one unconventional approach that I particularly recommend against. Acupuncture has been studied for a variety of problems, and there is a fairly good evidence that it can be useful for controlling chronic pain syndromes. I have had some patients with chronic pain problems related to multiple sclerosis that have reported benefit. The challenge there always is to find a good acupuncturist who can perform acupuncture directed at the pain problem.
Vitamins, minerals, and herbs are substances used alternatively or as a complement to conventional treatments. What potential benefit can these types of substances provide?
Well, first of all, if we talk about vitamins and minerals, these in general have not been very well studied in multiple sclerosis. The general attitude is to put an emphasis on the antioxidant vitamins, particularly vitamin C and vitamin E, as well as the B-complex vitamins. Some patients believe that injections of vitamin B12 provides them with more energy, but none of these approaches have been well studied. I do recommend to my patients that they take a good multiple vitamin with a mineral supplement once a day. I'm not at all convinced, though, that taking large doses of any vitamin is beneficial. Herbal supplements, however, are potentially of more interest. Many of our conventional medicines have their roots deep in herbal medicines, and herbal products contain a whole variety of natural chemicals that have a number of biological effects. We think that oxidative injury, that is, substances that are released by white blood cells, are involved with causing damage as multiple sclerosis, and many herbal supplements contain antioxidant compounds. Let me tell you about one study that we've done with a particular herb, and that's ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo biloba has been studied as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease, and we've recently completed a double-blind placebo-controlled trial of ginkgo to treat cognitive impairment in multiple sclerosis. This was a small pilot study, but it did show at the end of the study that the patients taking ginkgo biloba were performing better on a particular measure of cognitive function, and they also reported that they were thinking better. So that we think that this is one herb that deserves further study and may provide some symptomatic benefit for a problem that we don't have good conventional medicines for, namely cognitive difficulties.
Well, that does sound promising. Are there plans for further study on the effects of ginkgo biloba?
We're in the process of writing a grant that will hopefully be funded and provide us with the funding to study a much larger group of patients. Should also comment on a general problem with herbal products, and that is what you buy in terms of what it says on the label isn't necessarily what you're going to get. There have been a number of studies with different herbal products when bought off the shelf, showing that there's great variability in the actual content of the material that's there. So in our process of setting ginkgo, we worked with a particular natural product company. We did an independent analysis of the content to be assured that what we were giving patients was what the manufacturer said it was. So that adds to the importance of doing clinical trials in that, number one, we can prove whether or not it's beneficial, but also we can define what should be in the material in order for us to have confidence that it's going to be beneficial.
Even with vitamins, minerals, and herbs, people need to be cautious, of course. I have heard you say, be careful about the amounts of supplements you're taking and be careful about the types of ingredients that there are in herbs. Are there other cautionary notes that should be discussed?
I think the general issue that people need to be aware of is just because something is natural doesn't mean that it's going to be free of side effects. I think too often people with MS think, well, it's natural, it won't hurt me. But, of course, we know that's not true. Arsenic is a natural substance, but obviously it's a poison. There are certain mushrooms that are natural, but will kill you if you eat them. So just because something is natural doesn't mean it doesn't have side effects. That's the first point. I think the second thing, as we've already alluded to, is that the dietary supplements are controlled mainly for looking for gross contaminants. There's no FDA guarantee that if a substance says it contains 300 milligrams of an extract of ginkgo, then in fact there'll be 300 milligrams there. And then the third thing is that I think people need to be cautious about spending excessive amounts of money on supplements, and also being cautious as to believing anything that's being hyped as being a perfect and a great treatment for MS.
Doctor, talk to us about supplements that enhance the immune system and what that may mean to a person with MS.
Well, I get asked a lot about that, and I think that's largely being driven by marketing from the supplement industry. So if you go down to your local health food store or the health food section of your grocery store, you can pick up supplements that say immune enhancers and so forth. The reality is that the experimental evidence that anything that's being called an immune enhancer is actually an immune enhancer is not there. It's a marketing tool. So there's a lot of concern about taking a quote-unquote immune enhancer because we think that, if anything, the immune system in MS is overactive and you don't want to be stimulating it. The reality is that none of the herbs and supplements that are on the market, despite what are claimed, can be clearly classified as an immune enhancer. Certainly, if there's evidence that a certain herb or supplement is indeed an immune enhancer, we would be concerned about using that in somebody with MS. But again, this is much more hype than scientifically based data.
And finally, we get to the other category, and this is a very broad and lengthy group. It includes approaches such as aromatherapy, biofeedback, guided imagery, homeopathy, hypnosis, naturopathy, relaxation techniques, and traditional Chinese medicine, among others. There are just so many to sort through, Doctor. Which ones do you think are important for us to be discussing today?
Well, I think I'd like to talk about them as a group. I think the list is even lengthier than what you've just given us. I think that people, as they look at some of these approaches, need to take a step back and ask a few questions. The first question is there scientific evidence that any of these things are beneficial for MS? And the answer is going to be no, and that's because they've not been studied. Doesn't mean they're not beneficial or they might not be beneficial for certain things, but they simply have not been studied. And the second question they need to ask is the approach safe? And the third is it very expensive? So if people want to experiment with something that is safe and is not excessively expensive, then it seems quite reasonable to try that and to see if it improves the quality of life. So an example of that might be following aromatherapy if it's not being given at a great cost, or following certain other types of diets besides the low-fat diet, such as a macrobiotic diet. That can be done safely as long as you take a vitamin supplement. Some of the other techniques that you mentioned are safe and generally can be obtained at low cost. There are some things which you didn't mention that periodically we hear about on the web. Let's take an example, bee sting therapy. That went through a fad a number of years ago with people making incredible claims about people being in wheelchairs from MS for a decade and then getting bee stings and standing up and walking. This was an approach that was dangerous. You know, people die from bee stings, and clearly it's a toxin. And there is no therapy that's going to make somebody who's been in a wheelchair for 10 years stand up and walk the next day. The nervous system doesn't repair itself that quickly. So that would be an example of a therapy that, even if it was being given free, is potentially dangerous, and I would strongly recommend that people not experiment with that. Let me give you another example. There's a substance called Procarin that, again, was marketed heavily on the web. It cost a couple hundred dollars a month to take it. Probably was safe because all that was really in it was a cream with some caffeine and histamine. It cost very little to make this, and the people that were marketing this were making a lot of money off of it. This would be an example of an unproven therapy that cost a lot of money, that exaggerated claims were being made about their benefit, and was not a good use of people's money to be putting into that. There are some people who are selling various products, magnets or special diets or special expensive supplements, where they'll make lots of claims about how wonderful it is for treating MS, costs a lot of money. Whether it's safe or not, maybe not clear, but we know that it's expensive, and I would really recommend people not put money into things that are expensive just because somebody's claiming that they've cured MS.
Well, our time has come to a close today, Dr. Bordet. However, we look forward to having you back with us for our second and final webcast on this topic. Thanks again.
Thank you, Rick. It was great talking with you.
The National MS Society is proud to be a source of information for you about multiple sclerosis. Our comments are based on professional advice, published experience, and expert opinion, but do not represent individual therapeutic recommendation or prescription. For specific information and advice, consult a qualified physician. If you have a question that wasn't addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS. That's 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.